and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me. We're going to have a high time in the Lord here today. We're going back now. I've decided to go back in my repertoire here. And, you know, my repertoire, that is, all of my podcasts from the last 12 years are all available and uploaded at my website. If you go to WGODradio.com, click on the link. I think it says past or prior broadcasts. And there's a link on there which will take you to my podcasting company. On the left-hand side of that page are years lined up and months. And I've just picked out something because I got to fill out these 30 minutes here. We're going to hear something from the Gospel of Matthew from a couple years ago. This is out of Matthew chapter 7. It'll play today and tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday. It's entitled, Do I Know You? Now, we know that comes right out of Matthew chapter 7, where he says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will inherit the kingdom or enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I'm sure that's going to be where we're coming from here today. Here, coming up later in the week, you'll hear my sermon from Palm Sunday, from just yesterday. And that'll be also out of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, looking at the Last Supper. And that sermon is entitled, Is It I? Astounding that they all, pretty much except for Peter, they all asked, Is it I, Lord? When Jesus said vehemently, One of you is going to betray me. And they all, except Peter, looked at each other and said, Is it I? Is it I? Stay tuned for that. That'll air right here Wednesday and Thursday, right here on WGOD Radio. For here and tomorrow, we're back to Matthew chapter 7. Do I know you?
We're in the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew this morning. I've entitled this sermon, Pardon Me, Do I Know You? 2 weeks ago, we looked at two verses. Seventh chapter of Matthew, verse 13, it says, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And then verse 14, it says, Oh, how narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it, exclamation point. So Jesus is warning them that the door which leads to heaven is narrow. It's as narrow as he is. And he himself is the only way. And that's what he said. Everything he said was validated or authenticated when God raised him up from the dead. Listen to this text from the book of Acts. Should have read this in my sermon on Easter. Resurrection Day. Listen to this. Acts 17:30. Paul speaking. He says, Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God's validated his son. So believe what he says, every word that he says. God validated him by raising him up from the dead. God himself said, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Akuete autu, which is hear him and do what he says. Now, the next thing you better give heed to is this admonishment where our text begins this morning. Chapter 7, verse 15. It says, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So the next thing Jesus says is he gives us a warning to be on the lookout for counterfeit Christians, or more specifically, counterfeit Christian leaders. And he shows us what they really are. Inwardly, he says, they are wolves. Let me explain something to you. Please remember this always. The two most likely places to find counterfeits is number one, right here, the pulpit. This is the number one likely place you are going to find a wolf in sheep's clothing. Someone who's masquerading to be a Christian is right here in the pulpit. That's the number one thing. Adrian Rogers says Satan has his counterfeits in the pulpit all across America. His counterfeits are. And number two, the second place you're going to find counterfeits, Bible translators like me. Uh-oh. I'm one of those rare occasions that I qualify for both. How many Bible translating pastors do you know? So how can you tell whether or not I am a counterfeit Christian and a false prophet? Next verse, please, Son of God. He says, verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Simple. It's my fruit. Here's a question that insists that only you can answer. And those who hear this on the radio, you've got to decide, what am I producing here at Island? What am I doing to your faith? What do I say every week here about the man in the glory? You've got to decide this. What do I say about Jesus every week? What am I producing here? What do I say concerning how to live? Jesus said, by their fruits, you will recognize them. Remember, a tare looks just like a wheat. Remember, Jesus gave a parable that he sowed all the seed, and then while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares, but a tare looks just like a wheat. You can't tell the difference until they're full grown. Then you can recognize them. How do you tell? I've just given you some examples. Now, Jesus continues, verse 17. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, consequently, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, since hopefully I've passed that test, let me help some. Every good tree will believe and teach the following things. Remember, we're trying to ascertain, how do you know a wolf in sheep's clothing? How can you tell the difference if they're up here with a suit and tie or if they look just like a pastor? How do you tell the difference? Every good tree will believe and teach the following things. Number one, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. But Pastor Paul, my translation doesn't have virgin. It's got young woman. You just failed the test. Right? Pastors and Bible translators, I said, is where you find the tares. If you open up your Bible to Isaiah 7:14 and it says, behold, a young lady is going to give birth instead of virgin. Now, I've got a PhD. I've got almost two of them, and linguistics too. Let me tell you, as a Bible translator, I'm qualified to tell you, if you've got young woman in your Bible instead of virgin, you fail the test. Because I speak the original language, and I'm here to tell you, you're a liar. The word parthenos means virgin. You cannot deceive me, O Bible translator. I know where to look for you, behind the pulpit and Bible translators. How many young women have given birth since the year one? I'll conservatively guess 1 trillion. How many virgins have given birth that you know of? If you were a Bible translator, and if that word 99 out of 100 times meant virgin, and 1 out of 100 it meant young woman, how would you translate it? It speaks for itself. You will know them by their fruit. Shine the light on them. That's underhanded to do something like, you're exposed. You got to look for Satan in all the right places. That's where you find him. He always corrupts the word of God. Aren't you looking there? Every good tree will teach and believe Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that God took a body, that he is the only way to eternal life. The man behind the pulpit will tell you marriage is between a man and a woman. If he doesn't, he's a tear and a wolf in sheep's clothing. Marriage is between a man and a woman because God says so. Throw me out if you want. Doesn't change the truth. Hell is a real place, regardless of what they tell you on television or how many degrees the person tells you. Well, studies have shown that we know that hell isn't real. It was made up by the Catholics in the 3rd century. No, Jesus says hell is a real place. Therefore, believe it. Or here's another one. Point number 8. If you take the mark of the beast at the end of the age, there is no repentance from that. You can't say you're sorry for taking the mark of the beast during the tribulation time. You're lost forever if you take 666 on your right hand or on your forehead. Lost forever. Let me move on. Jesus will say this in chapter 24 about false prophets. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That means you. Even you. So you better watch out, church. And you better know the original. Don't study the counterfeit. Study the original. Not the counterfeit. Bank examiners study the real money. Not the counterfeits. You study the real and then you'll spot a counterfeit. Don't study the counterfeit. You won't know the real. If someone invites you to a camp meeting and tells you they're going to call fire down out of heaven, you better run in the other direction. Because the Holy Ghost fire has already fallen on the day of Pentecost, and he's not fallen again. Your calling is to live the Christian life until he returns. Instead of chasing fire, why not trying to be a man and a woman of integrity? Try chasing that. Not Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost has already come. He's not coming back again. He's already here. Where has he gone? Nowhere. By the way, Jesus expects you to know that. He expects you to know Revelation 13 that speaks of another false prophet. It's what we're looking at. He performs great signs. He even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those. My Bible says he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. So you're got a camp revival and you're going to call fire down out of heaven and you want me to come there? I'm going the other way. I'm not coming to your revival. Because the next time someone calls fire down out of heaven, it's going to be the false prophet. You've got all the witness you need. It's right here. The word of God is complete. It's all right here. All that you need is right here. By their fruits, you will know them. Know the word of God and you won't be deceived. Amen? Ignorant of the word of God and you'll be like the hundreds in my listener range alone who will flock to a false prophet who promises to call fire down out of heaven. Beware false prophets, especially those that come to you in sheep's clothing. You know, here's another one I want to read to you too. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to this text here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul's defending himself, talking about false apostles and false prophets. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Paul says, for these people, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Imagine that. Ever see that movie, The Transformers? Robots in disguise. The word is meta schema. Meta means to change. Schema means your appearance. Shaving off a mustache or growing a perm, right, Sharon? Metamorphe is to change forms. Metaschema is to change your appearance. Get a perm. Change the way you look on the outside, but still the same thing on the inside. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers that transform themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Sounds like another horror movie to me. You ever heard of Invasion of the Body Snatchers? Where these pods come down to earth, and while men slept, these pods take over the people, and then the people die, and the pods are masquerading as the real person? And only someone that really knows, usually it's the person's wife or husband, is the only one that can recognize the change. And that's what's happened here in the church. Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. And he says, why are you surprised if his ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness? This is where you find them, here behind the pulpit. But when they look like a Christian, look and walk and talk like a Christian, how are you to tell? Right, by their fruits. Usually by what they say about Jesus. They all corrupt the doctrine of Christ, who Jesus is. That's how you find them. What do they say about Jesus? Okay, now let's move on here to the next section. Otherwise, we'll never get out of chapter 7 here today. I've seen hundreds of tares in pulpits that churches still go to. There's probably 100 in this county that don't believe in the virgin birth or that'll marry two men or two women. And I'm telling you, that's a demon in that pulpit. You'll know them by their fruits. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, notice, he who says and he who does. He who says and he who does. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice he's already given us the answer regarding those who will enter in. Not those who say something, but those that do something. You see that? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Like these crooked politicians, a chicken in every pot. They spout off. They promise one thing and they never do it. But then occasionally you get the opposite that happens. like someone who says, I'm going to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem. What do you know? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. James instructs us, be ye doers of the word, and not just hearers. And then James says, deceiving yourselves. You're deceived if you believe that practicing hypocrites will inherit the kingdom of God. A hypocrite is a play actor, a pretender that says one thing and does another. Jesus says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour he's not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One last word from Jesus on this, from the Gospel of Luke. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? If you don't do what he says, you're a hypocrite. That's a play actor. You say one thing and you don't do it. Or you wear a false face. The false face is obedience. And behind it, disobedience. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I say? Jesus continues now in Matthew. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonders in your name. Notice these are things that church people do and not people down here at Bennigan's or some other bar. More specific, charismatic Christians and Pentecostals. Methodists don't go around doing this. You don't see Presbyterians running down the street chasing demons either. Prophesying, casting out demons. When was the last time you saw a Methodist cast out demons? Huh? Never. Performing miracles. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Didn't we not cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many signs and wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Jesus said, I never knew you. Meaning, these people didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They never had one. Like perhaps some of you. Maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe your parents were raised in the church. You assume that since your parents were Christians, or since that you were raised in the church, that makes you a Christian. That no more makes you a Christian than sleeping in your garage makes you a car. You can't inherit being a Christian. You need to personally admit and confess and profess and believe for you to be a Christian. Admit you're a sinner and that you can't make it on your own. You need to admit that you need help. You need to admit that you need help. You need to confess. That's number two. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father and his angels in heaven. Number three, you need to profess. That is, get up here in baptism and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's your Lord. I encourage you, come on back here. We just did it with Fran and Maggie a couple weeks ago. Come on back here, we'll fill it up with water. And you get up here and say, Jesus Christ is Lord and he's my Lord. And then he won't say to you, I never knew you. He'll call you by name. He'll call you by name. And believe. He'll profess and believe. That is, you gotta have faith. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now let's move on and cover the last section here of chapter 7. Let me say this, church. These words are words you do not want to hear from the Son of God. And that is, I never knew you. You don't want him to say that to you. I never knew you. I encourage you, make sure you've done all the steps that I just outlined. If you have not, see me after the service and we'll make it right, okay? See me after the service. We'll make it right before you go home. We'll make sure, I guarantee you, we'll make sure that God knows your name before you walk out those doors. If you're uncertain that he knows your name, you come talk to me and we'll be certain that he knows your name. Verse 24 starts with the word therefore. That is, since hearing without doing won't get you anywhere except thrown out of the kingdom. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. When your faith and your eternal life is secure in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter which storms come your way. Because your faith is founded on the rock. Amen? Psalm 40, it says, he brought me out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock. Hallelujah. Do I got some witnesses in here today? Hasn't he pulled you out of the miry clay? Out of the quicksand and set your feet upon the rock. You're not going down anymore when you're standing on the rock, when you are embedded on the rock. Hallelujah. Paul says that rock was Christ. Build your house, that is, raise your family, live your life embedded in the rock of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Search the world, but it could